a great song. Get my composure here. If you got your Bible with you this morning, if you'll turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We want to look this morning, starting in verse 26. We're going to go down through 31. God allows us to. We'll look at a few other spots. How many of you figured out that, hey, that's not Brother Kevin? Maybe half of you. Maybe the rest of you will wake up before we get through. Brother Kevin asked me to fill in this morning. Scott says he's filling in somewhere else today. I really thought maybe it was because of the incident last year at the go-kart tracks. I thought maybe he might have thought he might be arrested or something. I didn't know. The go-kart incident. I want to talk to you this morning, if you allow me to. I titled the message this morning, How's Your Doubt? Or if you want to look at it from a positive side, Do You Believe? And that's what we're going to be reading this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any farther. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we've already felt your presence in this place. Father, we pray, Lord, that you continue to blanket this church this morning with the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would lead and guide my lips as I bring your message and I stand before this congregation. I pray, Lord, that your message would be delivered. I thank you for this blessed word that you have given us, that we can see what you'd have us to see. Father, I hope that each and every one, I pray that all of us this morning would open our minds and our hearts and our ears, that we would receive this word. And I pray it would apply them to our hearts, apply them to our lives, that even when we leave here, we can draw upon them from time to time and do the things be pleasing to you. Father, we do pray for our pastor today. We pray, Lord, that you just touch him in a mighty way, lift him up this morning. Because, Father, we prayed this prayer in that most blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Sounds like it may be raining. Who would have thought that? I think I'm starting to mold. Let's read this morning verses 26 through 31. The Bible says, and after 8 days. Now, when the Bible says, and after 8 days, that's talking about after 8 days after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. 8 days later. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Now, when it says they were within, it's talking about the disciples were in the upper room. So that's what that's talking about. And Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. The doors being shut, the disciples were there in the upper room 8 days after Jesus had risen from the grave. And they had all the doors locked because they were afraid that the same thing was going to happen to them that happened to Jesus. So they had that place shut up, locked up, where no one could get in. But Jesus came in, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, Peace be unto you. Folks, there's many, many places that Jesus comes to his disciples in the scriptures. Either Jesus or an angel. And just about every single time they always say peace. Jesus wants you to have peace in your life above all other. Verse 27, Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. We're going to talk about that a little while this morning. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you sitting here this morning, you and me, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Woo! As I was looking at this week and studying these verses right here from 26 to 31, I thought, woo, if our pastor got a hold of that, he'd preach on that right there for 6 months. Unfortunately, I only have 2 hours this morning. Well, maybe not that long. How's your doubt? Or do you believe? You know, human beings are a believing creature. We believe in something. Now, what we believe in is another story. You got up this morning, you had belief that that vehicle sitting in the yard was going to start up and bring you to church. You came to church this morning, you walked in and you picked out a spot and you decided to sit in that spot, and you believed that pew was going to hold you up as you sat down. You may go to the doctor sometime and you go with the belief that they're going to do something to make you feel better. Some people believe the weirdest things. Some people just believe that they can't get up and start their day unless they get the paper or their phone or their computer or whatever and look at their horoscopes. They just think those horoscopes know everything. Folks, if you do that, stop it. Some people go to the psychics. Do you realize that the psychic network is a multi-million dollar a year industry? Don't waste your money. Don't do that. They believe every word. It's amazing to me what some people do believe without any evidence. If I stood here this morning and I told you there was 15 trillion stars in the sky, you'd say, wow, boy, that guy, he knows his stuff. You'd just believe that. But if you see a sign on the front of this that says wet paint, you would have to touch it. You believe there's 15 trillion stars in the sky, but you won't believe that's wet paint. It is just amazing to me. I heard a story about a fellow that got too close to a ledge one time. Now, out here on the mountain, we'd call that too close to the bluff. But he got too close and he fell over. And on his way down, he grabbed a limb that was sticking out. Here he hangs. Then he starts yelling out, help! Help! Is anybody up there? A little while, help! Is anybody up there? Help me! He finally hears this voice that says, yes, I'm here. And he's hanging out. He said, who is it? He says, it's the Lord. Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? And he says, yes. And the Lord says, let go. And the guy's hanging there, long silence. And he says, is anybody else up there? Do we really believe what we say? We believe. When it came to the point where the rubber met the road right there, the fellow wasn't too sure that he believed what he said he believed. What you believe about your vehicle starting this morning is one thing. What you believe about that pew holding you up this morning is another thing. If you come in here and you don't believe that pew will hold you up, well, that's okay. Just go sit on another one. If you go to a doctor and they're not helping you, that's okay. Just go to another one. But what we believe spiritually is the most important thing you'll ever believe in your life. What we believe spiritually will not only go through this life, it'll go through into the next life. What we believe spiritually will affect us for eternity. Think about that. What we believe spiritually will affect us forever and ever. We see right here in the scripture that doubt happens to the best of us. There may be folks sitting in this very room this morning that there's a little inkling of doubt in your mind. You know, I'm going to jump off and chase a rabbit here for just a minute. I see a lot of young folks in this church. And that is something you don't see in a lot of churches. But believe me, Debbie and I have had this conversation a lot. Debbie and I have been in a lot of different churches. You don't see a lot of young folks in churches. I want to talk to you for just a second. Especially those of you that haven't made it to college yet and you're getting ready to go. You need to be up close to the Lord in your spiritual life before you go to college. Because there's a lot of those secular colleges out there that's going to encourage you to experiment with some things. A lot of those secular colleges out there are going to encourage you to do some things. They're going to encourage you to examine this book and see if you think this book is true or not. Well, let me tell you right now, don't waste your time. This book is the one and only truth you'll ever run across. This book is 100% truth with no omissions. They're going to get you to doubt whether that book is true or not. That's the whole goal. That is what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to doubt whether that book is true or not. There's also going to be times when they're going to get you or try to get you to test whether you think that there is a supreme being that created all things, or did we just crawl up out of some scum pond as a tadpole and evolved? Well, let me tell you right now, it takes more faith to believe that that happened than it does to believe that there is an almighty God that created all things, and without Him nothing was created. Think about this, especially you young folks. If this earth, as it goes around the sun, if it was to tilt 1 degree too far away from the sun, we would freeze to death. It'd be another ice age. If this earth tilted 1 degree too close to the sun as it went around, we would all burn up in a flash. All the planets and all the stars and all the different things that are floating around out here in space, for someone to believe that that accidentally happened would have to believe that you could put a blindfold on and go in the morning in the middle of rush hour in Chattanooga and make it to work without having an accident. Folks, it is no accident that every single planet, every single star is right where God placed it. One other thing that they're going to try to get you folks to doubt, you young folks, as you go to school and as you start out, and this is even getting outside the colleges, they're wanting you to doubt your sexuality. Folks, they're going to want you to believe that what God calls a sin is a lifestyle. Don't start doubting that. Never, ever doubt that. That is a sin. Stay away from it. Far, far away. But as we can see right here in these scriptures, we get back to the message and stop chasing rabbits. We can see that it could happen to the best of us. Thomas had doubts that Jesus had risen from the dead because he wasn't there the first time Jesus came. As a matter of fact, if you still got your Bible open, look back over into verse 19 in chapter 20 of John. The Bible says, then the same day at evening. What same day? This is the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. This was on that first resurrection morning. And the disciples were up in the upper room, all the doors locked, because again, they were afraid the same thing was going to happen to them that happened to Jesus. They were up there with the doors locked. And it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the first day of the week, Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Folks, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to be mean or towards anyone, but the reason that Debbie and I are at this church, well, the real reason Debbie and I are at this church is because God sent us here. But as we were finding our way here, we were sitting in a Baptist church one morning, Easter Sunday morning. The whole church was full. There must have been 300 people in there. I'm sitting back there in the back, and I'm just praying to myself, Lord, help this preacher. Help this pastor. There's folks in this room that probably hadn't been to church since last Easter. Help him to tell them about Jesus. He spent a whole half hour trying to convince us that Jesus hung on the cross on Wednesday, rose from the dead on a Saturday. Spent the whole time. My Bible says he rose the first day of the week. I got to say this. I've never walked out of a service in my life, Brother Gene, but I got up and walked out of that one. My spirit was just churning inside of me. That's enough of that. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they were afraid the same thing was going to happen to them that happened to Jesus. While they were up there in the upper room, here came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, what? Peace be with you. The same thing he said 8 days later. Jesus brings us peace. Verse 20 says, and when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, what? Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send I you. Jesus got straight to the point. He was there with his disciples. He was there with his followers. He wanted them to know that he was alive and he was still in charge. And he wanted them to not waste any time. And he wanted them to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone that would listen to him. He said, I'm sending you. Ooh, I wish it didn't rain. Verse 22 says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Folks, that right there was the beginning of the church. Later on at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on the whole place, that is when the Christian church got started. Verse 24 goes on to say, but. Every time you see a verse start in the Bible, it starts out with but. You know something's fixing to change. He said, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas wasn't even there. Then the second time Jesus came, as we read in our verses in 26 through 31, the second time Jesus showed up 8 days later, Thomas was there. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe. I don't believe he rose from the dead unless I can stick my finger in the nail holes and put my hand in his side. I will not believe. Good old doubting Thomas. Even one of Jesus' followers. Thomas had been with Jesus for probably about 3 years. He had seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles. He had seen Jesus walk on the water. He had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. He had seen Jesus heal blinded eyes and cause people to walk that had never been able to walk before in their lives. He had seen all these miracles. and he didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. You know, folks, I have to believe that there's probably some here today that you've been where you need to be. You've been right there in church. That's where Thomas was on the second time. You know, even though Thomas had doubts, he was still there. He showed up. They were in church. They were in the upper room in church. You say, Brother Ed, that didn't sound very much like church. Folks, Jesus showed up. Whew. When Jesus showed up, you're going to have church. Thomas was there. Even though Thomas had doubts, he was there. Maybe some here today having doubts about Jesus. Let me tell you some good advice. Do the same thing Thomas did. Hang around church, hang around Jesus, and he'll show you. You notice when Jesus showed up 8 days later, Thomas wasn't there the first time. Thomas told all the other disciples, I'm not going to believe it till I stick my fingers in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side. When Jesus came back 8 days later, what was the first thing Jesus said? He looked. The Bible don't record anyone said anything but Jesus. And I could see that. Woo! Brother Gene, if you were sitting there and Jesus walked in and there's the nail prints, oh, I don't believe I'd be able to say anything either. Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen... let me back up. He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless. Didn't anybody have to tell Jesus what Thomas needed? Jesus knew what Thomas needed. He needed to be reassured. And Jesus went straight to Thomas. He said, Thomas, here's what it's going to take to convince you. Put your fingers in the nail holes, son. Put your hand in my side, son. I want you to be convinced that I am the Son of God, the one and only. I want you to be convinced. Jesus wanted Thomas to be convinced that he is who he says he is, because it is so important. Because, folks, I'll tell you right now, a little bit of honest doubt is a whole lot better than dishonest faith. Think about that for just a second. A little bit of honest doubt is a whole lot better than dishonest faith. What do you mean by that, preacher? You come in this church the rest of your life and you got doubt and your faith is not sincere, one of these days you'll open your eyes in a place called hell. Now, I know there's not a whole lot of preachers preach about hell anymore, but I'm telling you right now, hell is as real today as it was 20 years ago. Hell is there and it's real. God don't want to see any single person go there. How do we keep from going there? We believe in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the only way to get into heaven. Jesus, matter of fact, Jesus even told doubting Thomas back over in John chapter 14, I think it's verse 6. Jesus said He was getting ready to go up into heaven and He was going to go up there and prepare a place for us. And He said, where I go, there I want you to be also. And He said, where I'm going, you know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? We ain't ever been there before. Now, I'm paraphrasing. This is Daisy Mountain talk here. He said, Lord, how am I going to know the way? I've never been there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is the only way. Folks, it is critical. It is critical that we get the doubt out. It may take a little while, but you're doing the right thing. Stay here among God's people. Come and get up close to the Lord. Come and be around Jesus, because Jesus, just like he knew exactly what Thomas needed, Jesus knows what you need today. And Jesus is willing to provide that if we're willing to come and accept it. So, wonder why Thomas wasn't there. Wonder why Thomas had doubts. I don't know. We can speculate a little. Maybe things wasn't going exactly the way Thomas thought they ought to go. Maybe Jesus, when he went to that cross, maybe that wasn't what Thomas expected. Maybe Thomas was expecting Jesus to be there the rest of his life, just like he'd always been. Maybe things just wasn't going exactly the way Thomas thought they ought to go. And that may be what's going on with some of you today. Maybe life just isn't going along the way that you pictured it going. Well, let me say this. God is the one that's in charge. And as we live in this life, we got to live in this world. Not be of this world, but we got to live in this world. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture in the Bible. I almost preached on it this morning. It's probably a good thing I didn't. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. In other words, we got to live in the same world as the unjust. We still have the same diseases. And maybe that's one of the things going on. Maybe there's some health issues in your life. Didn't hardly go the way you thought it should. Maybe there's your job. It didn't hardly go the way you thought it should. Maybe things going on in your family, it's just not going the way you thought it ought to go. And it causes you to have doubts. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is still in control. And whatever you're going through, He knows it. Whatever you're going through, He's there. Scott was singing about that mountain a while ago. You know what? Every single one of us has mountains in our lives every once in a while. And we hope and we pray that God will move those mountains out of the way. But the fact of the matter is, God don't move all of those mountains that's in our lives. Sometimes God teaches us how to climb those mountains. And sometimes you'll learn the best lesson in your life while you're halfway up that mountain. And God is growing you and getting you to be a better disciple and having some experiences that maybe somebody will come along and you might need to talk to them about the experiences that you've had that will help them in their lives, and you had to climb that mountain or you'd have never got that experience. God is with you. Even in your darkest day, God is there. He promised He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll walk every single step. God will never give up on you. Sometimes we give up on Him, but God will never give up on you. He didn't give up on Thomas. He didn't throw Thomas to the side. He gave Thomas what he needed to be able to be that disciple that he needed him to be. Because Jesus wanted Thomas to be able to go out and spread the gospel. And that's exactly what Thomas did the rest of his life. He was martyred at the end of his life because he was out preaching and teaching Jesus. I'll tell you right now today, God has got things for you to do. God is wanting you to spread the gospel. There's people that you can reach and you can touch. And nobody else will be able to touch them. Nobody else will be able to talk to them except you. You're the one that God places them in front of you to talk to them about Jesus. And if you got doubts in your own life, you'll never tell anybody else about Jesus. I promise you, you won't. Until we get our lives where it needs to be with God and get lined up with His Holy Spirit, we'll never go out and tell anyone about the love of Jesus Christ and the peace that you can have through Jesus Christ. There's a peace that passes all human understanding. When you get all those doubts out of your life, when you put all those doubts aside, and no matter what's going on in your life, you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter what. You get all that out of your life, and you'll have a peace that you just can't explain. And there's going to be times in your life that you're going to need that peace. One of the hardest times in my life is when our daughter had our little granddaughter, little Claire. The doctor said she wouldn't live 2 hours. She lived 13 days. But I have a peace in my heart about where that little fella is. And I know she'll be there when Pappy gets there. God can give you a peace that'll get you through anything that's going on in this life. But we've got to get rid of the doubts. We've got to put them aside. And we've got to trust in God no matter what's going on. We've got to trust in God when we don't understand what's going on. And we've got to do just like Thomas did. We just got to hang in there and continue to go. Ooh, I got 4 pages of notes and I've only got 1. But I think I have said enough. Scott, if y'all would come this morning. Folks, I want you to know this morning that God wants you to know the truth. God wants you to be set free from the lies of the devil. God wants you to know the truth so you can have an eternal life with Him in heaven. Jesus wants you to know the truth because the Bible tells us that the truth will set you free from the lies of the devil of this world. Jesus wants you to know the truth so you can have peace passes all human understanding. If you have any doubts this morning, any doubts at all, don't let the devil lie to you again. Jesus is here this morning, just like He was there with Thomas. Jesus is in this place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He's willing to give you that peace. If you'll stand to your feet this morning.